You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
It's an exciting time for us today here at Houston's First in Siena and Cypress, downtown Espanol, the Loop as well. We're gathered all around Houston right now live, connected together for this reason, so that we can make a difference in the nation. Isn't that an incredible thing? That we could be in different places in our city, downtown Siena, Espanol, also in Cyprus, the Loop. But from those places, we could absolutely affect the world, because what we're going to do is we're going to have the World Mission Offering at the end of our time together. We're going to be able to give to what God is doing. Now, that's an awesome, wonderful, great thing that we're excited about. So let's just tune our hearts into that as we look at the scriptures in just a minute to be able to make a difference in the nations. Now, I couldn't have put it on a better day. Today is the closing ceremonies. Tonight is going to be aired on the closing ceremonies of the Winter Olympics in South Korea. So literally every nation is going to come walking through that stadium. And we're going to see on TV all these nations. It's going to be an incredible picture of heaven is what it's going to be. Because in heaven, it's going to be every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And some of us believe that, but we still think America is going to be first, okay? I don't think it's going to be in an alphabetical order, but us to be able to walk through that stadium as well in heaven, so to speak, to every nation, every tribe, every tongue. The Olympics are a picture of heaven. Now, we've been watching them over the last couple weeks. We thought curling was this 2 weeks ago. Now we know curling is sweeping the floor is what it is. And we won gold in that, and we've won gold in all these other things, and silver and bronze, and all of these things have happened with all the bobsledding and all the skiing, and then ladies, your favorite of figure skating and all the pretty stuff that happens. So it's been great to see the nations, and it coming from South Korea. Do you know that God has been at work in South Korea, North Korea as well? God's been at work in that peninsula. The gospel first reached the Korean people through foreign missionaries in 1885. Foreign missionaries went into Korea. Now, you know that God has been on the move because South Korea is absolutely amazing as far as the amount of believers. Now, today, so missionaries went in 1885, and now Korea is sending 30,000 plus missionaries, just in our denominational looks type of things, so even more so. 30,000 plus missionaries are going out from Korea to godless places like the United States of America, okay, is where they're sending them. So where we were sending people there, now people are sending them to us. Absolutely incredible to think about. How did God call so many missionaries out of Korea? Well, they have a church tradition that at 5 a.m. and before they go to work, they show up at the church, and Koreans would come to the church and they'd pray and they'd say, Lord, use my day today. Do what you want to do in my day. Spend time with the Lord. At 5 a.m., they would do that before they would go to work. Well, God just ripened their hearts to be able to send them to the nations. So now the Lord is using them where we were sending people to them. They're sending people to us. There's a Korean proverb that says, a tiger dies and leaves his coat. A man dies and leaves his name. Tiger dies and leaves his coat. A man dies and leaves his name. So they're like, well, my name is Christian, and I'm going to leave that everywhere I go to be able to share the gospel in that way. We're going to look in Luke chapter 24. If you got your Bible, I want you to look in Luke 24 as we talk about going to the nations. Just as we could celebrate the nations coming together in the Olympics, this is a celebration of these disciples going out to the nations. So it's in the sense the reverse. Instead of the nations coming to them, they're going to go to the nations. Now, I want you to have three things handy with you. One is your Bible. If you got a Bible, that's great. If not, we'll put it up on the screen. Two is a listening guide where we've got some information where you can take notes and some information about the World Mission Offering and how to do it on an app and your phone and all that stuff if you want to do that. And then three, I want you to have the envelope in your hand that hopefully you received when you walked into any of our campuses. And you'll be able to have that because we'll be ready for that at the end. But let's look in Luke chapter 24, verse 46 is where we're going to start. And he said to them, that's Jesus, this is what is written, the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. That's the cross and the resurrection on Easter. Verse 47, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We could say beginning in Houston. You are witnesses of these things, And look, I am sending you what the Father promised. This is the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. As for you, stay in the city until you are empowered from on high. The Holy Spirit coming. I want to give you three statements about missions. We've been talking about being a follower of Jesus Christ. That's our theme from Christmas to Easter. How to be a follower of Christ. Last week, we talked about Jesus' heart for the poor. This week, we're talking about Jesus' heart for the nations. If we're going to be a follower of Christ, and we're going to be a people that has a heart for the nations. So the first thing I want you to know about this, where it said in that verse of Scripture, we're going to send you out to the nations. The first thing about missions is this. A life on mission is to be embraced, not feared. A life on mission is to be embraced, not feared. Many of us are so afraid God's going to send us to Africa. Let me tell you what, I've been to Africa. If God sends you to Africa, awesome. It is a blast. It is better than Pearland, okay? And God bless Pearland. It's better than Katy. It's better than Cyprus. Better than whatever you want to call it. God sending you to Africa is wonderful. But how many of us are so afraid that God's going to wreck our lives? Let me tell you what, surrendering to God is the blessing of all blessings of your life. And God can do amazing things in your life. So we've got to embrace a life on mission, not fear it. And many of us, we are keeping God at arm's length, not just because of foreign missions, but because of what's God going to do with me? What's he going to require me to do? What's he going to ask of me? And we're living in the fear of our Father who loves us more than you even love yourself. God loves you. And so we need to embrace living a life on mission, not fear it. Oh, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be poor, and then I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to live here. It's going to be this thatched hut that I'm going to have to live in. If God calls you to a thatched hut, you will have more joy in your life than a mansion. And God will do his work through you, and it'll be a blessing. And God will use you in a great way. A life on mission is to be embraced, not feared. Here's what happens in our life. There's this tug. It's like a tug of war, really, in our lives, of faith and fear, faith and fear. Do you feel that in your life? I feel it with that little flag in the center of that tug of war rope. It's like it goes over to the fear side. I'm like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. And then it'll come back over to the faith side. Oh, yeah, God can do it. God can do it. Then it'll come back on the fear side, then back on the faith side. What we want faith to win over fear. We want to live a walk, a follower lives a walk of faith, not a walk of fear. Now, do we get scared? Do we get anxious? Sure. Do we get depressed? Yeah. Is life always great? No, it's not. Are there challenges? Yes, there are. But we want to say, Lord, I want to trust you and I want to walk in faith, not in fear. Haven't we all spent enough time being afraid? What could God do if we walked in faith? See, what happens when we embrace missions in our life, it begins to capsize fear and it begins to infuse faith for basically two reasons. Number one, missions minimizes me and maximizes thee. Missions minimizes me and maximizes thee. So he's saying to the disciples, I'm going to send you out to the nations. So you're not going to be fighting and complaining about all these things. You're going to get your eyes on the nations, and we're going to go forward in that. When Christians begin to fight back and forth, it's when we lose sight of the vision of what's happening. We begin fighting one another instead of fighting against the things of evil. Now, I want us to say this phrase together. So all campuses, out loud, everything you got, we're going to say it on the count of three. One, two, three. Missions minimizes me and maximizes thee. One more time. Missions minimizes me and maximizes thee. God wants to minimize us and maximize him. John chapter 3, verse 30 says this. May he increase and may I decrease. Jesus puts it like this, not my will, but your will be done. So it minimizes us. We begin to think less about ourselves and more about what we can do. I'm embarrassed to tell you this story, but when I was a college pastor, I was actually a vocational minister. We went to a camp with some other ministers, and I sat down with this guy that was on the mission field, and we began to talk about missions. And we sat there on the porch of this camp. I can't remember which camp it was, but we sat there on the porch of this camp, and he was saying, have you ever been on a mission trip? No. Have you ever thought about missions? No. I mean, what's your heart for missions? And I said this. I said, you know, if God wanted me to make a difference there, he would have had me born there. Hello, is anybody reading their Bible? Any college pastor reading their Bible? But what was happening, it was so on me. It was my ministry, my focus, my this, and I was young in the ministry in that place, but a lot of times we may not say that, but we live like that. If God wanted me to make a difference there, he'd have me born over there. Well, we've been given the opportunity to make a difference there and here. Now, hopefully, for sure, my heart has changed through the years to be able to see that. Where now I realize I don't have to pick one circle to make a difference in. I get to make a difference here. I get to make a difference here. I get to make a difference here. I get to make a difference for all of eternity and all over the world by being a part of what we're all a part of. That's an amazing thing. But when I get down to Houston, Texas, my street, my neighborhood, my house, my job, my life, my world, and everything gets all this small thing, what happens? The cares of the world begin to choke out the seed that God has. And we end up in this place where now all we're doing is complaining and whining as we're driving down streets of gold, basically, as we live here in this wonderful country. So it minimizes us and it maximizes him. Number two, it puts my Christian identity first. It puts my Christian identity first. See, God wants us to give the fruit, first fruits of our money. Why? Because it says, I'm a believer before I'm an employer. I'm a believer before I'm an employee. So it puts our Christian identity first. You always want your Christian identity first. And missions has a way of doing that. When you go on a trip or we give to the offering in just a moment, it's saying, I am a number one, a Christian. And number two, I'm a husband. Number three, I'm a dad. Number four, I'm an employee. Number five, I'm a neighborhood guy, whatever it is. Number six, I got these hobbies, all those sort of things. But when you reverse all those things and your identity is your hobby and your number six is your Jesus, you got it reversed. But what we do is when we get on mission field and missionary heart, we end up in a place where we go, Lord, my number one thing, when you're in Cambodia on the mission field, nobody cares what your job is really in America. You're not like, hey, I'm a CPA. If you got any tax problems, here's my card. Just let me know. It's not going to happen like that. Your number one identity is Christ. And students, let me speak to you for just a moment. Just listen up for just a second, students, at all of our campuses. You will have a fight to put all the coolness identities above your Christian identity. We have it the same as adults. But we'll put the, I'm a football player, I'm a band person, I'm a drama person, I'm a studier, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm all these different things. I put all this here, and then I'm a Christian kind of at the end. And what'll happen is then your Christianity becomes one of fear, and you begin to say, well, I don't want to say I'm a Christian, because if I say I'm a Christian, it might affect the way they see me as a football player. My cool status may get messed up if they see me as a believer. I want to submit to you this. I spent a couple years of my high school experience saying I'm a this, and I wasn't even that good of a that, and then hiding the Christian part, and then finally just saying I'm a Christian. And that's awesome to be able to do. Let your primary identity, students, be that you love Jesus Christ. And you know what? If they don't like you, then they weren't your friend anyway. And you have an opportunity to be able to minister to them. But when we get all our other identities here and our primary identities here, we got the whole thing mixed up, don't we? Now, Luke chapter 24, what we're looking at in verse 49, he's going to talk about the Holy Spirit. I want you to see where the power is coming from. And look, I am sending you what my Father has promised. That's the Holy Spirit that's going to live inside us if we're believers in Jesus. As for you, stay in the city, that's Jerusalem, until you are empowered from on high. That's Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. So he's saying, I don't want you to do this in your own power. I want you to do it in the power of God coming through you. And then when the power of God is in a believer in Christ, guess what happens? Everybody's a missionary. Can I give you a synonym for the word missionary? Christian. Christian. It's a synonym for the word missionary. No, Pastor, I know. Yeah, but a real missionary lives over there, right? A real missionary, no. A believer in Jesus Christ as a Christian is a missionary. A life on mission, number two, our second point. A life on mission is about our heart, not our address. A life on mission is about our heart, not our address. It's not about your address, it's about your heart. Now let's ask a difficult question, because I think we a lot of times we answer this without asking it. So let's ask it and let's answer it. Tomorrow, you're gonna go to school. Students, that's where you're gonna go. That's where you should go at least, okay? You should go to school. It's called truancy, okay, if you don't. So go to school. Adults, you're going to go to work. If you don't go to work, that's fine. It's called vacation, okay? It's a difference in students and adults. So go to work, though. Let's say you're going to go to work, okay? Retired folks, you're going to be retired. Hopefully, like last week, you didn't have to now go back to work, okay? That's not a good thing. So you're going to go and you're going to do what you did tomorrow on Monday, the same thing you probably did last Monday. That's what's going to happen. Is that a colossal Christian failure? You're going to hear a talk on the nations. You're going to hear me saying about God's love for the nations. And then tomorrow you're going to go to your place of service in downtown, Energy Corridor, wherever you are, Greens Point, Greenway Plaza, wherever you go. You're going to go to your place and you're going to go to serve. Is that a Christian failure or is that you going to your mission field? You see the difference? If it's about address, then it's a failure. We all just went back to our nice place where we can make money and we can keep our lifestyle going. If it's about the heart, it's not a Christian failure. It's actually your ministry spot. Now, I could say the same thing about me. I've got a blessing of being able to be your pastor. You know, there's a lot of cities around the world that I could go and be the one pastor there, right? Is it failure that I'm here? Or is it God using me here to hopefully send others out and to do that and to make a difference here where he's placed me? Yes, I hope so, or I'm extremely disobedient to the Lord. But I believe that God's placed me here, even a blessing to be in my own hometown. That's not Christian failure because it's not about address, it's about heart. And so I want to go and I want to make a difference in the different places that I am. I talked to a doctor in our church this week. I said, how are things going? This is amazing. I just said, how are things going? I didn't say, how are things going spiritually? I just said, how are things going? He said, it's been incredible. In the last year, I've led more people to Christ in my office than I ever have. And I'm like, that's awesome. That's a mission field, isn't it? To be able to make that difference. So God wants to use you and he wants to use me to make a difference. Now, for sure, the need is great throughout the world. Andrew Murray put it like this at a World Missionary Conference in 1910. We shall need 3 times more men, 4 times more money, and 7 times more prayer. 3 times more men, 4 times more money, and 7 times more prayer. In 1910, he said that. Theodore Williams in India said this. I put it at the top of your listening guide, the quote, because I thought it was so good. I wanted you to have it to take home. We face a humanity that is too precious to neglect. We know a remedy for the ills of the world that is too wonderful to withhold. We have a Christ that is too glorious to hide. Listen, we have an adventure that is too thrilling to miss. God wants your job. He wants your life. He wants missions through our church to be an adventure. So I say God's called you to that place. That's awesome. But he may call you to be a vocational ministry. Say yes. He may call you to vocational missionary work. Say yes. And where he's placed you, do the best job you can and minister to the people around you. But don't forget about the world either. Because what can happen is we can get so concerned about our kids, we can forget that there's orphan kids all throughout the world, and God wants us to have an obligation and responsibility to both, to make a difference in both of their lives. That's a great, great thing. The need is great. It's awesome. This summer when we went to India, it was an incredible time that we had together. We went into this one place, it was a straw village is what they would call it, which means thatch roofs and kind of straw hut kind of thing. It was right next to another neighborhood that was kind of had a little bit more money neighborhood, which in our standards would still be tremendously poor neighborhood. So we went into this straw village. Some of the people from the richer neighborhood would go and light the straw village on fire every few years to try to get these poor people out of here. But instead, we walked in as Americans and folks that could buy and sell every village, you know, in this little area right here. And so we were able to walk in that place in that time. We sat down and we began to share the gospel to the least and the lost as they sat down on this dirt floor in this little tent, this blue tarp tent that they had. And they put us in chairs. And when they put us in chairs, people came around behind us and they began to fan us. For an hour, they fanned us. So that flies wouldn't get on us, so it wouldn't be too hot. And we were like, no, please, please, we're your servants. Please don't fan us. And then when they would fan us, you know, a couple times they'd whack me on the back of the head, this girl here. I was like, no, really, please don't fan us. But the point was not that they treated us like royalty. That's not what I'm saying. And even the royalty would have been, if we'd have just gone to a restaurant anywhere, you know, in the circumference of a mile of any of our campuses, would have been far nicer than what we were sitting in at that moment. It was the fact that the gospel could go forth from nation to nation, from folks of a wealthy nation of ours to this straw hut village, and we could share. It was not about our address. It was about our heart. So here's what God does. I want you to take this note if you're taking notes. I want to give you 3 concentric circles. One is this, and it's the center circle. And then 2 is this. And then 3, and I'll fill these in for you in just a second. This is our perspective. Our perspective. That's our perspective. This is our priorities. And this is our practice. So that's our practice. Now, what happens is when God gets a hold and changes your perspective, it changes your priorities. And when your priorities change, your practice changes. So when the Holy Spirit, verse 49 is what we're talking about, when he says the Holy Spirit will come upon you on high, on Pentecost, when it happened in Acts chapter 2, when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, dwells inside of you. That changes your perspective. So now my priorities are not making sure I get mine. It's not just my circle. My priorities, I begin to look up and say, wow, the Lord loves the nations. I need to love the nations. And now my practice changes. So when we get to a world mission offering, we go, yeah. Not, oh. And we say, God, yes, use me. Now, what do we typically do in the Christian church? We typically are going reverse. People like me get up and we shell you about practice. Do more, be more. Quit doing that, start doing that. And then if you keep doing that, then hopefully your priorities will change and you'll show up at church more. And then when you show up at church more, hopefully you'll love Jesus more. Well, let me tell you, the reverse is what the Bible's teaching us is this. If you fall in love with Jesus, you'll make the nation's your priority. You'll make missions and orphans your priority. You'll make church your priority, and you'll show up, and you'll be here, and you'll be able to give and to go and to be a part of mission trips and going on different places. But the deal is, I'm not trying to teach us about our practice, though we can learn from that. I'm trying to make sure we got the right perspective. And if we got the right perspective, then our priorities change, then our practice change. Ladies, do you want your husband to change that he goes out on dates with other girls just because you want him to? Or does he get a perspective that I'm a man of God and I'm married, therefore my priorities are to my wife, therefore I don't look at anybody else or go out with anybody else or do anything like that. Now the practice is taken care of by the priorities and by the perspective. When you have a child, all your priorities and perspectives change, right? Your perspective changes, your priorities change, and then your practice changes. That's how it works. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, our perspective changes and things are different. Our third and final point is this. A life on mission means you're either giving, going, praying, or disobeying. Now, if you've been in our church for any length of time, you've heard these phrases before. This is just something we say over and over. But you know what the Bible tells us? Again, I say rejoice. It's good to repeat things. Why? Because we're sheep and we forget. And we need to hear it. So on mission, you're a life of mission, you're either giving, going, praying, or disobeying. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to do some hand motions. Ready? We're going to go VBS. Here we go. Okay. Giving. Everybody do it. All campuses. Giving. Going. Praying. Or disobeying. Okay. We don't want to do this one. Ready? Do it again. All campuses. Here we go. Giving. Going. Praying. Or disobeying. One more time. Giving. Going. Praying. Or disobeying. You only get a medal for the top three. Okay. Gold, silver, bronze, all of those are gold, but we only get jewels on our crown and eternal rewards for the top three. We don't want to be the disobeying. We're either giving, going, praying, or disobeying. We're going to have an opportunity to give in just a second. Maybe you walked in, you weren't ready for it. That's awesome. What a blessing. What a blessing that you get to be a part of it. We're going to be able to go. We've got mission trips planned. You can be in tons of mission trips. Go to our website and find out more information about that. We've got a mission guide book that you can get. What I'm doing in my prayer time is each day, weekday, I open up the missions book and I pray for a different mission trip each time and I just check it off. I love check marks as a type A. And so here I am. I can pray and I can pray through every mission trip that we're going to be able to go on. I can't go on every one of them. I can't sponsor a person on every one of them, but I can sure pray for every one of them. Here's what's going to happen in those three things. One of those is going to be kind of your number one priority. Some, it's going to be go, and you'll be like, I'm supposed to go for the summer. I'm supposed to go for my life. I'm supposed to go, and that's my number one. Others are going to say, you know what? I'm supposed to give. Here on this side of the ocean, I can make a ton of money and I can give a lot of money away and I'm supposed to give. All of us are supposed to go. All of us are supposed to give, but some of it will be that. That'll be your number one thing. God just puts you together as a giver. Number three, some of you, maybe you've gotten to an age where you just can't physically go anymore. You can pray. You can pray. But we're all praying, giving, going. We're going to do all of them. We should do all of them. Man, go to Disneyland 15 times with your family, but make sure you go on a mission trip too. Don't take your family on 15 trips to Disney World, never see the world. Epcot is not missions. Man, I've been there and it's awesome. Take your family there. That's great. Blah, blah, blah. But take them also to something else. And then now we've got a balance to be able to get all these things through. And we're teaching our kids to do this. Kids, I hope today you're going to give to the World Mission Offering. Students, I hope you're going to give to the World Mission Offering. Being able to do that, it's awesome. You got an $800 phone. Surely you can support a missionary, right? To be able to say, God, we want you to use us. I want you to use me. We want you to do something in our life. We're praying, we're giving, and we're going for all of us to say, God, use us in this way. And that begins to be a follower with a life on mission. I want to show you a video of a missionary, not from our church, from another church, but a missionary that went out. As we have this thought in our mind, we are going to be able to support 16, hopefully even more, missionaries for an entire year by giving to this World Mission Offering. We're hoping to raise over $1 million today and to be able to give to the International Mission Board, to be able to give to North American missions, to be able to give to state missions as well, to be able to give to all of those things. So what we're doing is we watch this video. We're giving to support people just like this. As they give their life, we're saying we want to participate along with you. We are a body of Christ. We're together. We're with you. And we're not there with you physically, but we want to support you in this way. Let's watch this video together.
Karen was a member of our church. She took a number of short-term mission trips. And it was while she was taking those short-term mission trips that she realized that she wanted to do more. This was right at the beginning of the conflict in the Middle East in 2003. Karen's background was in security. She was Kern County Sheriff's Department. So when she applied to the International Mission Board, they realized that she had a unique skill set. And so they offered her an opportunity to go to Iraq right after the invasion and help with a security detail, plus working with women in country who were refugees.
I was scared. I was really scared for her, but I wasn't going to talk her out of it. I knew it was God's calling. I knew that that's what she was meant to do. I remember that day when we were driving down the freeway after we had dropped her off at the airport, and I remember looking at my husband and said, I'm never going to see her again.
And my phone rang pretty early in the morning, and there was an individual on the line from Special Crisis Team with International Mission Board that informed me that several missionaries had been shot and that Karen was among them. I turned to my wife, Cindy, and I said, do you remember where I put that letter that Karen gave me to read if something happened to her? And she said, of course I know where the letter is. And she went and got the letter, and then we opened and read it. March 7th, 2003. Dear Pastor Phil and Pastor Roger, you should only be opening this letter in the event of my death. Man, I don't know if I can read it. Well, it took a while to absorb what's in the letter. If you read it, it's a powerful, powerful letter.
I mean, she speaks from the heart, and you can feel that when you read the letter.
You'll find in the letter her heart, her mind, her soul about missions. We have many people that have gone onto the mission field because Karen inspired them. We have church planners who are starting churches in the United States who were greatly inspired by Karen Watson. And at her funeral service, there were numerous people that gave their life to the Lord, because in the letter, she told me to preach the gospel at her funeral. And we did.
It's really powerful that we get to be a part of supporting amazing people of faith like Karen. Those that literally, some will give their lives And we in Houston, Texas, and Cypress, and Siena, and downtown, and we get to help to let the gospel go out into places that we may never go. We put her entire letter on our website in the World Mission Offering section, and you can look at it later. But what we want to do is we want to come now in joy to be able to say we want to help support. We want to see the gospel go out across the world. God loves the nations. We as followers have to love the nations and want to love the nations as well. Look, if you will, at the last verse, 52 and 53, after worshiping him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually praising in the temple, praising God. We are moving to great joy when we support those that are out there. Here's what I want you to do right now. I want everybody to grab their envelope that you have, all campuses. Grab your envelope. We're going to have a time of reflection. You can turn the little flap and see how you can give different ways. And what we're going to do at all of our campuses in just a moment after we reflect a little bit, we're going to put either our check or cash or information on the little flap area. And we're all going to come down and we're going to put it in boxes. Your campus pastors will tell you how to do that. And then we're going to go back to our seats and we're going to joyfully worship at that moment. We're not going to exit the building once we give. We're going to go back to our seats and worship for just another song, just real quickly, to just celebrate and joy and worship. But we're going to be able to give. And here's what we're hoping at all ages, all participations, everybody. If you're here and you aren't ready to give, well, you can take this moment to kind of get ready to give. We'll have iPads in all of our campuses in the lobby if you want to give in that way. To be able to give on credit card through that, that's fine as well. Some of you have already given. Our family, we've already given. And some of you have already given. And what we'll do is you just symbolically take your envelope and you just walk right down front with everybody else and just symbolically put your envelope in the basket or on the altar or however it's happening at your campus. And to be able to do that, to symbolically say, I'm already in. We want those that are already in to feel the joy of walking down front just as much to be able to do that. Or you're going to give later this week or however it works out, but let's be able to do that. So take a moment with that video and these scriptures in your heart and let's reflect. In just a moment, I'll draw us together and we'll have the joy of being able to give.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.